All right, everyone. We are live on air right now. Unfortunately, Summer couldn't be here today because I know, sick kiddos at home. But I have my other co-host with me by the name of Chris.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being here today. First, I do want to give a shout out. Today, I was actually on a live Instagram with another podcast couple. And that is Kim and Nelson over at Meet the Tylers podcast. So thanks for that, guys. Woohoo! Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, actually. You'll have to watch the episode. But so, as you know, I just started a new podcast, which is Evil Olive. And if you didn't know, it is a palindrome. It's spelled the same way forwards and backwards. And we're sitting here. Well, Chris isn't drinking, but I am. So there's that. But throughout the week, what we do is we go ahead and give you guys episodes that are just narrated by myself. And then at the end of the month, we do like a banter episode and kind of discuss things and talk about, you know, questions anyone may have or whatnot. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and kind of jump right in. So Chris, he listened to all the episodes. I mean, what do you think?
First of all, I think you did a really good job. I enjoyed them very much. I learned a lot from them. I had never even heard of the two stories. The Sony, what are they called?
The Sony Bean Clan.
The Sony Bean Clan. Never heard of that story.
Right? A lot of people haven't.
And then the other guy that was from the Vancouver area.
Oh, Warren Leslie Forrest.
Never heard of him.
No one has heard of him. You know, not one person.
You know, Ward Weaver was pretty famous. It was in the news, and you know, but the other two. They were new to me, but I liked them. I enjoyed them.
Yeah.
They were good. They were crazy too.
Right?
Very crazy.
Well, and the thing is, you know, we have family that live here. And so that was the part that kind of got me on the Warren Leslie, where it's like, holy shit, where we take our kids and Lacamas Lake, there was fucking bodies there.
It's funny. I'm pulling up on my MapQuest. Okay, where's this road they found this person at? Where's
right?
this place? I'm like, oh, okay, that's not too far away and this and that. And
yeah.
I'm like, wow.
I know. I went a little fucking crazy. So I actually went to Barnes & Noble for that case. And I, look at this. Like, I actually bought like a map of the county. And I started like pinpointing shit like where Dole Valley Road is. I was obsessed with that case. Because I had never heard it either until I started doing this research. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, how has this guy, no documentary on him, no shows. I haven't even heard a podcast on him.
I mean, for the damage he's done, he should be considered one of the crazier serial killers. Or at least, you know, he wasn't that good at it because there's a couple of people who failed that. But it sounded like he was a pretty legit serial killer.
Well, and that's kind of what I thought too. I was like, no one has heard of him. My mom, you, Jack, my sister, grandparents, you know, my parents, no one has heard of him.
What was the total victims he had?
Total, I want to say, was 17 that he admitted to.
Yeah.
But I want to say there's 8 that they know for sure. Yeah. And 2 escaped.
Yeah, which
so
is crazy.
That's why I'm like, what the fuck?
I mean, how badass does that one girl have to be that got stabbed,
tied up,
chewed off her lip, chewed off her lip.
Her fucking lip was gone. Like, and her name is Norma.
Names. Yeah.
Yeah. But she had rope burn. She actually had to chew through it and in doing so chewed off her lip. And when the other park rec employee guy found her, he admitted to seeing the same thing too. So it wasn't exaggeration. Like this girl she had to do what she had to do to survive.
First she got away from the original spot.
Then
she heard the noise. She got scared. She hunkered down and stayed there all night.
I can't believe that. Can you imagine having to stay in a fucking field or an area all night?
So you're worried about a serial killer. Then you got to worry about coyotes or bears. Or
anything.
Something else, mountain lion. I mean, snake. Well, I guess you don't have big snakes up here.
But still, matter what the fuck it is, I run from spiders and bees.
Creepy crawlies, whatever, you know.
No, yeah. I couldn't believe it. And then to come to find out, literally 100 feet from her was the other victim.
The other location, yeah.
And I was like, are you kidding me? And that girl, Krista Blake, was killed literally, I want to say it was like a week or two prior to her being taken there. And yet the investigators did not find Krista Blake's body until the anniversary of her missing date, exactly 2 years later.
Wasn't it they were doing, if I remember right, they were researching something else. I'm like, hey, this area looks familiar.
Yes.
Like, oh yeah, this is where we found so-and-so. Uh-huh. And yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I can't believe it. It honestly, I'm still dumbfounded by it. I couldn't believe it when I was doing the research. I was like, how in the hell is this even a possibility?
Well, you know what I think is crazy? So you have the two people that escaped. They both were able to give descriptions. And, you know, they did find them. How soon did they find them?
They found him almost immediately. I want to say that night or the next day after the second victim. But what's really fucked up, so the first victim, the girl that chewed off her face.
Yeah.
Or her lip, excuse me. Not her face. Not her face. Sorry, I'm not laughing at that. It was, anyways. She had given a description to the police, but the police, they almost didn't believe her story is what it was. They made her come in from, according to the reports that I saw and that I read, they made her come in and do a polygraph test.
So the fact that she showed up hogtied, rope burned, lip gone, they just think she's made it up?
I don't know. That's the thing. I couldn't find any other information regarding that. But then there was also something that when they went to go do a lineup, it had been like a couple weeks and she couldn't remember. And I think a lot of times when something traumatic like that happens,
you block it out.
So maybe she couldn't give a positive identification. I want to say she was only 14, 15 years old.
Oh, so was she that young?
She was young. She was super young. The other lady, which her identity has been sealed from every document that I've received, I don't know how old she was. I want to say she was in her early 20s.
Is that the one that supposedly still lives in the area?
No, Norma does. The 14-year-old does.
I can't keep track of the names.
The last victim, I want to say I called her Julie in the podcast. That was the last one of Warren's that escaped. The one that was stabbed in the chest and shot and left for dead naked. And then she crawled to like a service road and then got help. She was the last one. But she was able to identify him, but they also found her belongings and her blood on his stuff in his van.
You know, what's crazy and is how these people do these crimes and then they're crazy enough to do it and think it out and do that. But then they're not smart enough to get rid of all the evidence.
I don't fucking get that.
It's like, I mean, you got to be wired a weird way to do that, but it's like kind of common sense. And I don't want to like say I would be a great serial killer or something.
If you're going to do it, at least, you know, try and do it like somewhat correctly.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm looking at it from a point of view like, okay, if someone hurts my kids, like, I know what I'm going to do. Yeah. And like, I'll stab them with a fucking ice, like an icicle, and it'll melt like anything. No evidence there.
Icicle. Just wait till it gets cold enough, I get an icicle.
Seriously, wait till I get an icicle in my hand, fucker. Like, no joke. But, oh my God. Okay, so let's start with, let's kind of go over the Ward Weaver case. What did you think about that?
Well, first of all, I just knew the basic stuff that you heard on the news. What was that, 20 plus years ago?
God, yeah.
And
yeah, because 2002?
And I started thinking about it.
Jesus.
Those girls were roughly the same age as my oldest son. So I'm man.
Really?
I'm trying to imagine what that would be like, your kid at that age just disappearing, you know? And, you know, I have a boy, but, you know, I have a daughter.
But still, I mean, a child is a child.
It's just horrible. But just all the little things, it's like, for one, how manipulative is he to basically the relationship between Ashley, that basically he got pissed at her, started telling stories, and then he was able to manipulate her to come back and be friends, and not only like watch her, she's like sleeping together.
Honestly, I couldn't believe that. And that part alone.
And it's so sad that none of that should have ever happened because, like I said, the teacher that saw him get her dropped off.
Exactly.
And it's so sad that the system didn't follow up and do stuff.
Well, that's the thing. The fucking system failed her. Her family failed her. Friends. you know, the FBI, like all of it, everything failed. Yeah, and like, it was one of those perfect fucking storms where, sorry, I'm a little buzzed right now, but no. I am so frustrated. Like you could, if you could see a video right now, you could see my eyes welling because it's so frustrating because if you look as and a listen, parent, it's,
you know what it, even though it sounds like they had shitty parents, they're still parents.
Yeah.
And they're still their kids.
And they still love them. And, there's no doubt about that.
There's ways that this could have been avoided.
Yeah.
Totally could have been avoided.
Yep.
And it's just so sad.
And you know, none of us are perfect parents. I completely, I mean, I'm the first one.
Close, but, you know.
Of course you are. But you know, none of us are perfect. But when you hear a parent finds out that their 11, 12-year-old daughter is sleeping with a 38-year-old man, and the girlfriend calls and tells you that, yet you still allow her to go back and, over there.
And it's just like,
I don't fucking get it.
It's like her friend, it's her friend's dad.
Yes.
It's like her friend's like, what the fuck are you doing with my dad?
Right. Like, seriously? Well, and that's, I think Mallory got put to the side because I can't imagine what that poor girl went
through.
She
probably had a rough life too.
Absolutely. Your father killed your two best friends.
Yeah.
I don't know how you ever fucking recover from
but
that.
I'm assuming before all that even happened, there's probably stuff we don't know behind the scenes that probably went down.
And that's the thing. There hasn't been any investigation into that with regards to, like, did he molest her? Did he hurt her?
Yeah. Maybe she was just scared shitless of him.
Yes. You know? I mean, honestly, there is no information on it. And she still is alive till this day. She, I want to say she lives in, you know, Portland, Vancouver area.
I changed her name.
God, I can't imagine. Fuck, right? Poor girl. Yeah. Like, I mean, I can't imagine what she went through. Especially being, you know, 9, 10 years old.
Yeah.
And then going through the media. And then even, I don't know if you remember, but he showed her autopsy photos of her friends.
Yeah, I remember hearing that, yeah.
What the fuck? As if she's not traumatized enough.
How did he get a hold of those?
Well, it's a part of your case, your discovery. You're given every piece of evidence.
Okay, this was when he was in prison, right?
Yeah.
That's right, then they stopped visitation.
Yes.
I remember that.
And then that's when he killed himself. But, so, the main source for the book, or source for the research was the book, The Missing Girls by Linda O'Neill, Philip Tennyson, and Rick Watson. That book, oh my God, if you guys want to read something amazing, read that book.
I mean, if it wasn't for her,
no,
it might not have ever got solved.
No, and so the thing is, Linda, as I stated in the story, she is like a peripheral family member, or in other words, like a step-grandmother. Yeah. So her, Linda and Philip Tennyson, they're married. Mm-hmm. Philip, before meeting Linda, was married prior when he was a teenager. And he had two girls or two kids with this one lady, divorced. Mm-hmm. But that lady went on to have two other children.
Yeah.
And one of those kids is Ashley's mom.
Okay.
So you see, it's very convoluted, but there's a connection. Yeah. And I had no idea. Like this, like you said, this case was national news in the early 2000s. National news. And I had no idea that there was an actual like private investigator that was a family member.
And she's putting her life on the line. I mean, because when Laura Weaver showed up at her house.
Oh my God, I know.
With their son working on a truck or something like that. And basically how would you not like, holy shit.
When I read that in the book, I literally ran out into the living room. I was like, Jack, I know you hate true crime, but I gotta tell you this. Like, this is, you can't make a better movie than that scene.
And what was his comment? Kids are so gullible.
Oh, kids are so naive.
Oh, naive.
Mighty fine boy you have there. I heard you have a daughter too.
Yeah.
Kids are so naive, aren't they? If that's not a fucking threat, I don't know what is. And yet Linda, this badass bitch, still went to the fucking FBI the next day whatever.
And they blew her off.
They didn't even fucking care. We've got 100 highly trained professionals. And I'm sure that's exactly how he said it.
When she did her research, was she before or after when the second dog went on the property?
She started before that research. Okay. She started right when Ashley disappeared within like a week.
Okay.
And that was the thing. She was like, well, that's why she went to the bus stop. She talked to Weaver's parents.
Yeah.
Or not parents. excuse me. His ex-wives. But she actually interviewed Miranda Gaddis.
Yeah.
When she got off a school bus.
We'll get to her in a minute.
Yeah.
But you know what also like drives me nuts? So how many times did they go to Ward Weaver's property three times.
Oh my god, I know.
How does that shed never get checked?
That's what I don't fucking get.
That's like, okay. I mean, ideally, you look under the basement or in the attics, or there's a creepy shed in the back.
And that's the thing.
They said it was too dark.
So yeah, too dark. They cut off the investigation. And then even at the end, if there was a foul smell when the property owners are walking up, what the fuck was going on for the 11 days that it wasn't cordoned off with all the other people there?
They had all the air fresheners in there.
But like, still, it's right.
But I mean,
and but it's like, you're telling me none of those fucking civilians or reporters tried to open up a door. I mean, maybe it was locked. Or
stray animals.
Yes.
Or something.
I mean, there could have been a padlock on it. That could have been.
Remember the story? You couldn't get the ice cream out because you lost the keys to it. Remember?
Oh
remember
my when you said God. That? Yes. Like
that little birthday party.
Oh.
And the ex-wife said, that's weird because he never loses his keys. He always has his keys on him.
Oh, my God. And that was Ashley who was stuffed in that freezer because her body had, evidence of being stored in a cold place because there was no bug activity.
Yeah. That's probably where that freezer. Yeah. Because the freezer was in there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? And oh, my God. Like, see, it even makes me tear up now because. Have investigators or
they
even CPS.
They dropped the ball so bad.
God. CPS, when the teacher called up and no one followed up and no one went to go interview the daughter or the mother or ward.
Yeah.
You know, like.
What they say, it was supposed to be a certain time period when something's supposed to be done. And
something like that,
they didn't do that until after she was missing. For five days.
Well, and that's the thing. The report was supposed to be signed off by a supervisor to be investigated, and it wasn't until a week after she was fucking missing.
And it's supposed to be like 48 hours?
Four days, something like that.
Yeah.
It soon, not months.
Yeah.
And then they fucking sign off. Literally a week after she goes missing. You don't think they're going to find that out?
Yeah. Oh,
are you fucking, have you fallen and hit your head? You fucking idiot. Like, oh my God.
It's so sad.
It was so maddening because as I was doing the research, it's like, had CPS actually, went through with their investigation, Ashley and Miranda could have survived.
Oh, totally.
Okay, but let's give the benefit of the doubt.
No guarantee, but it improves the odds.
It does. But let's give the benefit of the doubt that, people are human. People make mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on. And, Ashley goes missing. All the times that, Henry Oaks with his dog and the other police dog, that could have, those moments and incidents could have led to Miranda not going missing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if the school, did the school even reach out to Ashley's parents?
I don't think so. There was nothing that said that because the principal said no.
I know
it's not our business.
I was a parent and the school calls me and say, I saw your 11-year-old kissing an adult.
Right?
Like, who?
Straddling him in a fucking driver's seat.
And you find out who.
Oh my God. See, I get so mad talking about this case.
I don't care if you're friends with the other little girl or a kid or whatever. You're not going over there.
You're not going over there. But that's the thing. The parents let her go.
Well, because they didn't know.
Yeah. Well, no, the mom knew because.
Oh yeah, that's what the girlfriend called.
The girlfriend called and said, "I don't want her here. She's causing problems." And she's sleeping in the bed with them, and it's like, that's when, as a parent, I would be calling the police,
and I'd be going over to whoop his ass.
Yes, and you're not gonna have any contact with this man or this girl. I don't care. If she's your best friend or the fucking daughter of the Pope. Yeah. I mean, even though they can't have kids,
he might
I don't care.
In the backyard.
Yeah, we'll put him in the fucking freezer at this point. So, I mean, I don't want to put all the blame on the parents.
No.
It was literally the perfect storm, if that makes any sense.
No,
because all three agencies, the parents, CPS, and FBI, all of them completely, dropped the ball in certain parts. Well,
and it sounds like the kids didn't have the greatest home life. So,
no, that's the other sad part.
If anyone gives them any bit of attention, they're probably going to grasp onto it.
Yeah.
And, he was an evil guy. Evil people are manipulative. They know how to, kids, they're tricked easy. They're still developing. They don't know what they're doing.
Well, and it's funny you bring that up because in the actual book, I'm going to quote Linda because I didn't want to, I could have spoken, I guess, on the actual episode that I did.
Yeah.
But I felt like it would be better for the banter. So when Linda was doing her investigation and she went to Ashley's family's house to let her know her thoughts, and why she thought things happened. This is what she said. So this is a direct quote from the book. I believe the vacation trip is the turning point. because someone's phone.
Not me.
Oh, it's Jack's phone. Sorry, my husband left his phone in here. Anyways, so Linda says this to the family. I believe the vacation trip is the turning point because up to this time, I do not think Ward had approached Ashley for sexual intercourse. That's not to say he hadn't exercised many other avenues of inappropriate exchanges or affection. He was seen kissing her passionately one day when she was dropped off at school. What I think happened was like a Lolita-like obsession. He flipped for Ashley like a lovesick teenage boy. Mm-hmm. He was content in the early months just to possess her heart and her soul in every way possible, except sexually. But after that trip, everything was set for him to spring his plan into motion for a sexual conquest. He must have been practically salivating and constantly seeking out the perfect occasion. And so she goes on to say, you know, how could so much more.
Yeah.
But it brings to light, you know, okay, so why didn't he try and rape her in the beginning? You know, she had been living there for almost a year, but it makes sense.
Well, could literally her family's across the street. And this
he was
and that,
waiting
and,
for the right opportunity.
You know, trying, basically just trying to manipulate her, get her mind towards his way of thinking.
Yes.
And then it's, you know, easy pickings what he's probably thinking, you know?
Well, and then she goes on to say that.
And obviously it worked.
Well, and she says, she was like, the moment, excuse me, I'm going to paraphrase here, but it's a game of control with him.
Yeah.
You know, that's what these psychopaths mm-hmm. do. It's control. And so he felt sabotaged by a fucking 11-year-old.
Yeah.
He didn't like that.
Oh, no. It's all about a power trip.
You know, that's why, you know, when this all came to fruition, when he did try and rape her, but failed, mm-hmm. and then she came back, it's almost like his ego was hurt, is the way she explained.
That's why he went to the lawyers and said, oh, she makes these false accusations.
Yes.
And then, so then what was her dad that was in jail already, right?
Yes. And indicted on, 39 counts?
He got like probation or
he
something.
He got probation for like, I think 10 years.
Like a no contest or something. Yeah.
And that's the thing. He did rape his own daughter, his flesh and blood. Like, and this man sabotaged it all because he knew that he got beat by a child and he mm-hmm. didn't like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was happy in the beginning, like she said, to mm-hmm. just, you know, possess her heart and like be able to manipulate her, like you said. But then when he tried to have sex with her and she said no, that pissed him off. He felt betrayed and sabotaged by a 12-year-old little girl and was like, fuck this, I'm not gonna lose to her.
But then eventually he got her to do a 180.
Yeah.
And then she's sleeping in his bed and basically living there.
Yeah. And that's what I don't get. And then so there's also another report where the report says Ashley went missing when she was going to school.
Yeah.
But the mom's boyfriend at the time said he never saw her leave.
Yeah.
And he left. When he leaves, Ashley's still at the house.
Yeah.
Ashley's blood alcohol content was equivalent to what, 6 shots, 5 shots?
She said that, yeah.
The mother, from multiple different sources that I read, the mom admitted to being drinking the night before.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a theory that Ashley actually went missing the night before, not the morning of. She probably snuck out to speak with Ward mm-hmm. about everything, and that's when it took place.
Well, 'cause I'm wondering what made him decide, you know, thinking he has this little 12-year-old girlfriend, and then he's like, oh, no, I'm just going to kill her.
Yeah.
I wonder if she was pregnant or something like that.
Oh, my God. And well, I mean, autopsy didn't say that, I mean, who knows?
Maybe
a
false alarm scared him or something.
Something.
You know?
Or maybe she went. And I mean, who knows? Maybe she went to, you know, stand up for herself the night before. And he was like, no.
He just had a fight or something.
Or he snapped because
he's crazy.
Yeah. We could go round and round on why he did it. However, I mean, next week I will be doing a case on Ward Weaver with regards to his family history. And he's not a very nice person. Let's put it that way. So, I wouldn't put it past him just to do it because he fucking felt like it.
And you know, it's easy to say this after the fact, but when you see photos of that guy, you're like, yeah, he's a dirtball. He did it.
Right?
It's like,
you can't deny that. And I'm not saying like anybody can look grungy or whatnot. I mean, there's times I look like shit. But this guy, you look him up. He fucking looks like he did it. He fucking did it.
And you know,
like, there's no question.
You know, I should probably never be on a jury if I want to think like that.
But, oh, I know, right? But, no jury duty for Chris. Oh my God. I know. I honestly, like, the whole entire case, when I was, like I said, when I was reading it, my mouth just kept dropping open. Yeah. Like, are you kidding? And then Harry Oaks, okay, the independent dog trainer,
yeah,
who went to the fucking house
and starts going ape shit.
And the dog, what was her name? Oh God, I forget her name.
Miranda?
No, oh. The dog's name. Oh shit, that's gonna piss me off. Anyways, when Harry had his dog go sniff the area out, and she started literally clawing at the cement that he had just laid. Mm-hmm. He tells the FBI, they take his information, and they don't do anything with it.
Yeah.
That was before Miranda went missing.
Yeah.
Or no. That was after Miranda went missing, actually. Yeah, I want to say it was.
And that poor Miranda girl.
Oh, God. I mean, both
of those, she already had such a horrible life, and was trying to rebound from all the stuff she's been through.
Yeah, her sexual assault from her mom's boyfriend. And then...
Because she made a comment, hey, beware that guy. He's kind of a creeper.
Because she was trying to fucking save other kids. Yeah. And the only... also, what I didn't know when I was doing the research, I found out after the source, her little sister, Ashley's little sister, was friends with Mallory and wanted to go to the party, the birthday party.
Yeah.
Miranda wouldn't let her sister go alone.
Oh, yeah.
So Miranda went with her sister to protect her.
Oh, wow.
And then that's what's done to her? Like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. And then also what's so frustrating, I left this out. I should have put it in, but I didn't know a good spot, I guess. So they were actually, the police said, oh, it's so hard to serve a search warrant. It's so hard to do this. And you know, you gotta jump through all these hoops. There was a man in Ashley and Miranda's complex that the police did serve a warrant on.
Yeah.
He had just moved in and he went camping in March, like the time the kids disappeared.
Yeah.
And the police are like, no one in Oregon goes camping in March. It's too cold. And so they literally served a fucking search warrant. And guess who was in the parking lot watching it the entire time?
Ward Weaver.
So you can't tell me you couldn't get a search warrant for Ward Weaver when he already failed a polygraph on both the girls, yet this random guy, I'm not going to name him because I don't want people to attack him. No. He did nothing wrong. The police didn't want to be made stupid. It made to look stupid. That's why they wouldn't go to Ward Weaver.
Well, you know what's crazy to me? So when Ashley disappeared, you would think there'd be investigations from all of her friends, school.
Yeah.
You think the school would have said what they saw with Ward Weaver, with the truck.
That's the thing. Where was that report?
You would think, you know, they would have talked to, you know, try to get Ward Weaver's girlfriend off at this point. Uh-huh. You know, it sounded like she would have spilled the beans on them because it sounded like she was pissed off that Ashley was over there all the time.
Yeah. Well, the thing was when the investigators did talk to his girlfriends and wives, they just wanted to know about his past and what they did with the wives. They didn't care what he did with the kids. Because that's what the ex-wives had said. Yeah. Because when Linda went to go interview them, that's what she told them. Mm-hmm. I tried to tell them. I forget, one of the ex-wives even told the officers that, you know, if Ward's going to kill someone, he's going to kill him and take him up to Bagby Hot Springs, where I used to go as a kid.
Yeah.
They went up there and searched and found nothing. And so at that point, they're like, okay, these wives, you know, and no offense, the mother of Mallory didn't even have custody of her. Ward did. And so I think that says a lot. I'm not saying, you know, it's bad or good, but I'm just saying, I think maybe the police had a preconceived notion on this family and the way they lived their lives that they didn't take anything seriously.
The family dynamic.
Yeah. Which is extremely fucking sad because I think, okay, let's just say, you know, worst case scenario, Ashley did go missing. She was killed. Honestly, I feel had someone done their job, one of the family members, FBI or CPS, Miranda would still be here today.
You know, kids talk. You talk to kids at school.
Right.
Like the Linda lady did when she went to the bus stop.
Yes.
And that, why didn't the police do that? Why didn't they, hey, who's her circle of friends?
Who is,
you know, I mean, kids can't keep quiet.
No.
Things get spread around school. It's, It seems like common sense. It really does.
You really think it would be like that. And there were, what was it? Detective Valenzuela Garcia.
Yeah.
She actually, I mean, she handed out flyers. She went to the mall. She interviewed Ward Weaver, and Ward was extremely inappropriate. And she noted that in her investigation, you know, he was, for a little girl that just went missing, you know, he was extremely, unempathetic. Yeah. Like he had no sympathy, and he was flirting with the detective. And it's like a little girl who you said was like a daughter to you is missing, and you really don't give two shits. And that's the thing. The detective did mention that in her reports,
but
no one else wanted to listen.
So sad.
I know. Honestly, that case, it still gets me. And just like what you said tonight, no one understood the facts of like Ashley's history, Miranda's history, and just the in-depth history of Ward himself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a little sneak preview on Ward's father, who is on death row in San Quentin, murdered a woman by the name of Barbara LaVoy and buried her under a concrete slab as well.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, in doing this research, it's like the moment two little girls go missing, this motherfucker puts in a hot tub and needs to put in a foundation that's fucking, you know, 8 feet deep with fucking steel barrels. And no one's going to question that.
Yeah. And it makes you kind of wonder, like, hopefully this was his first time, but I wouldn't doubt if there was other victims.
Oh, God. And that's the thing. There has to be more. And he does have a violent past, but it makes you think, like, okay, are there more missing people that we don't know about?
Well, I would assume if you're a pedophile, which basically...
Oh, yeah, he is, to a fucking T.
I don't think you hit 35 or 38 or whatever and say, you know what, I'm a pedophile now.
No, I think it's something you are.
Yeah, I think you just have it.
Well, it was said he did molest or, like, abuse his sister.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I won't go into too much detail, but there's multiple accounts of him raping, abusing. Like, it wasn't something that, just like you said, one day, I identify as a pedophile. Yeah. Like, it's not like that. No. You either are or you aren't.
Yeah.
You know, but I'll be honest, at the end of my research, I was so fucking happy when I read about the barber who stabbed him in the fucking neck and the shoulders.
But he didn't die.
Yeah, I know, motherfuckers. But I think the guy in prison, you should get a medal. I want to send you a medal and I will help you pay for your commissary shit. Like, you deserve, like, a heroic Medal of Honor.
I'm surprised he lasted that long, because I've always heard my whole life, you know, child molesters or people that are bad children, they don't last long.
No, they don't.
And I was surprised it took so long for something to happen.
And the thing is, now he's, like, under protection now. Yeah. That's the thing. So when he goes out to, you know, the commons area and whatnot, or the yard or anything, you know, he has like his own private entourage to protect him. That's why I'm almost like, you know, fuck sending them to prison. Yeah. Send them out in fucking public within the community, because they will suffer. Like, someone will fuck with them. Like, they will not last.
Jesus, that's so sad.
I know. So, okay. So, yeah, that was the Ward Weaver case. And we already talked about Warren Leslie. For a minute, I think we're going to touch on the Sonny Bean to end it on a spooky note, since Halloween is just 2 days around the corner. So what'd you think of the Sonny Bean clan?
Well, first, I've never heard of it before.
No?
And I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was very interesting that two movies were made about it, storyline, which, you know, after hearing it, I get that.
Yeah.
It makes sense. And... you know, it's just crazy. When you said it was the 1500s, 1600s?
Late 15th century to the early 16th century.
You know, I wonder, like, if stuff like this happened more often, but, you know, there's no documentation that much back then. And,
right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and that's the thing.
There's not that much of a population and, you know, someone poor, struggling, this and that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sounded like he just was, like, against the man. I don't want to work.
I'm going to be a vagabond and I'm going to eat people. Fuck you, government.
I don't want to be a cog in the machine. So, you know, I'm going to find some nice cave on there. And that kind of sounded like, how the hell do you get in that damn thing?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I had never, ever, ever heard of this this entire, like, clan or story at all.
Yeah, how'd you find out about it?
Well, so I was just looking at, like, fun things in Scotland because my grandfather, his mother is from Scotland. Like, yeah. She had, I think it's called a Scottish brogue. Like, oh, yeah, she,
a little bit of an alcoholic, so you had some kind of connection.
Exactly. And so, and she's from Glasgow. And so I was looking up, like, some fun stuff, you know, like, legends and whatnot from, like, across the world. And I came across this clan. And I was like, what the fuck is Sonny Bean Clan? And I was so confused because the guy's name was Alexander Bean.
Yeah.
And, but they called him Sonny Bean. But after researching, Sonny was a name for a Scottish, like, a nickname for a Scottish man.
Yeah.
So instead of calling him by the Alexander Bean Clan, they called him the Sonny Bean Clan.
They don't use that term.
They don't use it anymore.
Or
and I want.
Or
I,
they probably get offended if you do.
Yeah, probably. It's probably. I mean, if you call me fucking Sonny, I mean,
I'm not gonna lie. You know what, if I ever meet a Scottish person, I'm gonna throw it out there and just see what happens.
Hey, you're being a little fucking Sonny, bro.
Either they're gonna look at me like, "What are you talking about?" Or they're gonna get real pissed off.
Yeah, right. You're being a little Sonny, okay? But no, I really loved, like, the parallels when Wes Craven was interviewed with regards to his Hills Have Eyes movie. The reason why he chose it was because, yes, the crimes that were in this legend were extremely gruesome and brutal.
Yeah.
But so is what the townspeople did when they executed them.
Well, yeah.
Like, they cut off their manhood and put it in a fire.
I mean, they ate the dude's wife in front of them.
I know. Like, that's fucked up. But that's the thing. I think the whole parallel, what Wes was trying to say was, you could look at someone else and think that they're gruesome and crazy, but I think what he was trying to convey is everyone can be that, depending on how far you're pushed. Like, what if someone hurt your child? Like, what is that movie? I think it's The Last House on the Left I think it's a remake. The guy's daughter gets raped and she has to swim through the water. And he's a doctor and she comes up, but the people that they're letting them stay in their cabin are the people that raped and almost murdered their daughter.
Right. Yeah.
And when they find this shit out, like, the mom sticks one of the guy's hands down the garbage disposal, turns it on, and the dad, like, paralyzes the guy from the neck down and puts his head in the microwave. Like, yes, it's fucking gruesome, but when something happens to your own flesh and blood, like,
thinking about it, they're thinking that's just like a wild animal that's just eating a bunch of villagers, you know,
fucking,
like,
a Yeti or Sasquatch.
I mean, what do they say, like, roughly 1,000 bodies?
Yes,
or something like that.
That's what's suspected.
I mean, barrels,
yeah,
pickled.
Oh my god, I had a pickle the other night. I was like, I'm thinking of the Sonny Bean Clan right now.
I mean, pickles, pig's feet, you know. I mean, you know, and then they have all these kids and grandkids. I mean, talk about breastfeeding to a whole other level.
Oh my god, I know. Was there, like, multiple wet nurses there or something? Like, what the fuck?
Like, don't bite, damn it.
Yeah, it's like, were the kids inbred to, like, bite off nipples at that point? Because, like, obviously they weren't all cannibals because the babies had to drink milk for a certain time. And it's like, how do you introduce, like, first solid foods? Like, eat your first fingernail.
I mean,
like, here's your first butt cheek. Like, what do you do?
You want a leg or a breast?
Leg or breast. Gosh. Oh my god. Sorry, Dad. I'm a thigh person. Like, can I get the dark meat?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? But no, I thought it was an interesting, you know, legend, supposedly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no, what you're saying, there's no actual proof if it's just a story.
No, I love the saying, I can neither confirm nor deny.
Some people believe it, some people don't.
Right? But that's the thing. I mean, I think it's, who knows? It could have been a fucking scary story that parents told their kids to make them eat their fucking food.
Put yourself in that situation several hundred years ago, and you're going down some trail, you know, to the next town or whatever. And you just see some people walking to you. You're not thinking nothing.
No.
And then you get to them and you see, like, the kind of craziness and the...
fucking,
you know,
file down their teeth and shit.
Well, you know, I mean, when you're inbred and don't they say you go crazy when you're cannibal?
Yeah. Well, look at, like, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, so you got a bunch of little shitheads
little
like that
fucking
coming.
Joffreys running around.
You know? You're just praying there's a dragon to fly by and burn them up or something. But I mean, how terrifying would that be?
Fuck that. Like, you want Loch Nessie to come and save you.
And what's crazy is they say when they found him, there was all this money, coins.
Yeah, they didn't.
They totally could have just turned around their life and just went and bought a penthouse.
Okay, rob and kill a few people and like take their belongings and go buy like a nice farm and live on a plot of land and
buy some pigs.
Yeah, pigs, sheep, but goats.
But what were they saying? They're saying at first they did it for survival, and then they were like, "Oh,
They grew to have a taste for it.
A taste for the food itself, or just the killing,
right?
You know." So
I mean, what was that one movie? Was it K2?
That's a scheme.
I know, but
no, that's K-12, isn't it?
K-12, no, K-12, that's like school, right? No, it was that one movie where the plane crashed or something in the mountains.
Oh, yeah, Alive.
Alive, yeah. Yes, and they had to like eat like the dead people. Like, I understand like out of necessity to have to do it, but just for sport?
I'm so picky, I don't even know. I was like...
You're like, fuck it, I'll eat a rock.
Like, I need prime. You know?
Oh, my God. Oh, wait, we have someone that wants to call in. All right, let's see here. Yeah, you can go ahead and call in if you're still here. ABC7, is that you?
Probably been ignoring them for the last 10 minutes.
I keep looking back and whatnot. I think, yeah, it says allow call in. Let me message them. Sure thing.
Not like one of Ward Weaver relatives.
Oh my God. Okay. If there's any Ward Weaver relatives out there, you cannot call in. We will not take your call. If it is a Ward Weaver relative, I'll say, we've been trying to reach you about your car's warranty.
And I was joking about the Sony comment.
Oh my God. Seriously. Quit being so Sony.
Yeah. And you cannot come here to the studios in downtown Portland.
Right. Do not come to the studio in downtown Portland. You are not needed here. We've got it under control. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to call in. ABC 7 show. Are you called? Invite as a speaker? Oh, okay. I went ahead and sent your invite, ABC 7. Let me know if you want to come on. We're going to go ahead and keep chatting. But yeah, no, the Sony Bean thing, honestly, like, I think parents probably use that as like a boogeyman thing for their kids, because they did say, they use like, eat your vegetables or Sony Bean's going to get you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like all the little, you know, stories, the Mexican folklore,
Chupacabra?
No, not that one.
Oh.
But
mixing up my folklore?
I think it's the Arona or something like that.
Arona?
You know, basically like...
Look at you rolling your R's, you know, Cali boy. Get it.
Yeah, I mean, my son is half Mexican. But, it's all kinds of stories, but I don't know. How big was that cake to fit all those damn kids in
there? I don't know. That's a thing. Like, you fucking got, what was it, like 18 grandkids and granddaughters and like... What, 8 sons, 6 daughters, and then them 2? Like, and they're all like a product of like incest.
Yeah.
Like, I'm literally picturing The Hills Have Eyes, or, oh my God, hey, you guys from the Goonies. Sloth love Chunk. I'm seriously like picturing like, mama.
How terrified would that be?
Sloth love Chunk. I'm picturing like, I'm envisioning that
instead of a Big Roof or Snickers bar, he's got like a hand.
Oh God, baby roof? Yeah. Hand or pinky?
Oh my gosh.
Sorry. Oh my God. Oh.
I think we scared off our one listener.
I think we did. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening in. We'll be back next month, and tune in next week, let's say Tuesday, for the Ward Weaver episode with regards to his family history and how crazy he is. And let's give a big round of applause for our co-host, Chris, for coming in.
Thank you, Chris. No problem. I enjoyed it.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. All right, everyone. Have a good night. Talk to you later.